Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, this day of July 14th, 2012, coming down the home stretch, 2012 year. And I'm really grateful to have on the show today Sonia Barrett. And she's the author of The Holographic Canvas. I've had her on a couple times over the last 2 years. This subject in The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, it was published in 2008. And she's got some brilliant insights on the cutting edge of quantum physics, what's going on with quantum reality, this quantum blend, mix, bridge between science and spirituality. She's has some extraordinary insights in this regard. The book, Holographic Canvas, is really extraordinary read in a lot of regards. I pick it up on an occasional basis, and I love to just let it fall open where it may. A lot of my favorite quotes are from there. She has a website at www.spiritinform.com, and in her own words, what she says about this subject is, quote, "Recognizing our spiritual and perceptual boundaries and comfort zones is a major factor in our quest for answers. In general, we are unaware of what we don't know, and the distance widens even further when we are affixed behind a barrier of limiting beliefs. Reality is a great science that has no boundaries, only those that we create for our comfort. There is no right or wrong way to grow, but it can be of tremendous assistance in recognizing the limitations which hold us bound." And this is a subject we'll be going into today. Sonia, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you so much for having me back on your wonderful show. I'm very grateful, very honored. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I could go on about how you've appeared on panels with a lot of other speakers, scientists, like Bruce Lipton and other notaries, speaking at Conscious Life Expo, Alchemy Conference, and a lot of things that you've done. Those who are familiar with your work, I don't have to say anything, but for those who are not, you are quite extraordinary in a lot of your productions, your documentaries, the one you're working on, The Business of Disease. It's a subject that fascinates me. I've provided a link for that in the email, and people can go there and see it. It's a trailer for the movie. Sonia, for those who are listening, this is Christopher Rudy, Cosmic Love, and I'm introducing Sonia Barrett, and she is also the founder of Sovereign Mind Radio. And that's at www.sovereignmindradio.com, and she's the founder and publisher of Sovereign Mind Magazine. That's www.sovereignmindmagazine.com. And so she's quite a media producer. Sonia, I'm speaking in third person here. I just wanted to give listeners a little bit better understanding of where you're coming from, what you're doing. I'm really intrigued on the subject you're working on now, producing this Business of Disease movie. How's it coming along, by the way?
It's coming along. This is my first attempt at doing, you know, undertaking such a task, and I am enjoying it. It is a lot of work, and it's on the job training.
Yeah, I can figure on the fly.
It's on the job training. So, but I love that though, because I think that's, you know, this journey is on the job training anyway.
Yeah. I agree. It's like, you know, you by doing it, you learn how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and half the time you're standing there going, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, I think that's a subject now. I wanted to get into that. What do we do now with the holographic universe, the global holodeck, planetary energy fields? What's going on with the Earth energies, the Earth consciousness, with, you know, our connection to that? And that's in the quantum realm that I've been fascinated with, been writing a lot about it lately, and I thought you'd be a great person to go into this with.
Well, I hope so. The reason why I say that is my take on things sometimes tend to be just so very different, I think, at times than I think most, because I'm so not a promoter of fear at all,
Right.
see that there's so much of that going on, and even in the conscious community, and that's fine if that's the experience that someone still needs to have, but I think that we have to really own the fact that even though we are experiencing reality, or this what we define as this earthly experience, this holographic experience, as a collective, we also have to realize that besides the collective agreement, there is also our own unique, individualized, agreement that we have with ourselves in terms
soul of soul contract or whatever.
Yeah, right. In terms of what you choose to experience, what you need to experience in this life. So I think that sometimes people sort of use the oneness or the global aspect as a cop-out in the sense of realizing that they have to be completely responsible and truthful to themselves about their life and their choices and own your spiritual strength and grow up spiritually as an individual. I think that a lot of times people tend to want to, hold to the collective, like the oneness, as if if everybody is going in the same direction, we're all going to be okay. And I think that there is a personal responsibility that has to happen. Each one of us has to unlock ourselves. That is something that I think is very, very important. We have to understand that each of us, we have our own unique signature. We have our own unique connection to
source.
Evolution. Right, to source, exactly, to consciousness expansion, and that nobody can do it for the next person. However, what we might find is that wherever we are in our awareness, we might find that there are other people who are vibing on the same understanding, the same concepts, the same beliefs, regardless of where you might be on your level of understanding or awareness. But that should not confuse the fact that you have to be completely responsible for your own evolution. And I think that's what strengthens the whole even more, is when each being steps into their own unique strength. Well, obviously, everything else has to be stronger, but if everybody is coming at it from a dependency standpoint, because, this is a programming we have, we're used to someone fixing things for us, somebody saving us, somebody, something external, something outside of us. And so I think we're in a time where you might want to start looking at taking responsibility for yourself. Because even though we're all connected, and it is one, individually, the reason why we appear in this life, or just appear in general, as individuals, even though that is, to a great degree, yes, that is an illusion, but it's an essential illusion, because you uniquely represent a particular kind of experience. You bring uniqueness to that the expression of the one. So each person is uniquely expressing the one, even though collectively we are, we are operating together. So that's the reason why we owe it to the expansion to work on our own selves, focus on that, and that's what makes a difference in terms of how things will appear to unfold, apparently appearing outside of us anyway. It has to be the individual.
So it seems like the great paradox. We're individual, individed. We're individual. We're not, we're separate.
We're separate, but not.
But not. And in
right.
other words, and I think, and I sometimes rail against what I call sheeple think. Where you
right.
get along
mm-hmm.
by going along.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite thought forms of that is, bunch of sheep going over the cliff, and there's this black sheep going in the opposite direction, going, "Excuse me, excuse me."
Oh yeah, that would be me. Yeah, I know. Like, if everybody's going there, I think I'm going to go this way.
Excuse me, you know.
And as they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. They're like, you're like, we're the black sheep, and they're
yeah,
the white.
Yeah.
I think there's one of my favorite. Native American quotes regarding stupid white men is kind of along those same lines. They just don't get it.
I know, it's like, okay, well, it's like we're scratching your heads. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah,
and then you're like, look around you. Everything, you know, look around you.
Yeah, everything's backwards. I mean,
yeah.
When I say that, The Matrix is really interesting, and this is... This platform of evolution that, you know, Earth, you know, the holodeck that we're on, and it's fascinating to me that here we are, you know, and it has the rate of change has been accelerating, and there's one of the things that's been going on, and again, this is a paradox. At the same time, more and more power has been centralizing and concentrating with institutions, corporations that are converging and merging. And I was just reading the other day that 90% of all the mainstream media, what we read, listen to, you know, radio, television, is controlled now by 6 giant mega corporations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I know.
And it's all there, and across the board, the medical industrial complex is now, I think, much bigger and more insidious than the military industrial complex.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
You know, that Eisenhower warned against.
I've always joked about that, you know, that eventually we'll probably just be able to go to the airport, and you know, you can do everything there. You go get your physical. You can, you know, you buy your groceries. I mean, or maybe even go to the grocery store, and then you just, you know, you can go to the doctor at the same time and get your laundry done. I mean, go to the bank. I mean, it's just all in one. So you can see the symbology there as well, because it's this oneness sort of integration that's going on that level at the same time. And forcing people into this this customized matrix here, this process. And at the same time, we also have, on the human level, we also have everybody talking about the oneness movement and everybody being one. And I've talked about that so many times, because there are two different understandings with this, because one
this
is
oneness thing. Yeah,
yeah,
one
is pretty deceptive.
One of them is source,
mm-hmm.
The source field, the unified field, and of course we're all connected to that on some level, soul level in particular. But the other is, again, what I was referring to is the centralized, one way, top down, mass programming of, you know, the corporatocracy of our belief systems. I mean, in terms of BS, you know, BS that makes everything backwards. You know, like. What we call healthcare is a disease care system.
Right.
What we call defense is offensive.
Right.
And it's like everything. It's like everything has become backwards, because the corporate law of the corporatocracy is that the stockholders become before the public wherever profits are at stake. So it's like these special interests have merged these giant conglomerates that are highly centralized, media, marketing, management, all the, I call them the megatrend matrix of these giant conglomerates that are highly centralized, top-down, command and control. And the opposite of that, now this is what's interesting, at the same time, we've got the internet, which is decentralized. It's instant everywhere. It's interactive instead of being one way. It's every which way. It's like there's this. The more things become centralized, and our freedoms are co-opted, and we're told to, you know, to believe the BS, the belief systems that would own and control us and make us all, you know, victims with victim that gets along by going along like sheep over the cliff. That's one direction. But the more they, more that has been happening, the more that the internet and people, you know, through social networks and just connecting with people of the same, you know, community interests of, you know, awakening, it's doing just the opposite. It's like a decentralized. It's like it's non-linear. It's almost like intuition, and it's happening organically. It's, you know, it's happening, you know, by synchronicity, serendipity, people finding other people who are into the same thing, and sharing stuff that, you know, takes it to the next level. And so it's going global in a unity way. At the same time that we're having in our face more and more this centralized command and control, just BS with fear. And one is of love, and one is of fear. It's almost like the initiations or the testings that every soul has in this dense octave of incarnation that we call life. You know? It's like we have this. The big test seems to be between this issue, and then collectively, the global holodeck is out picturing what's going on between everyone's ears. You know, the holodeck, you know, in the upper lower brain, the left, right brain, forebrain, rear brain. It's like there's a holographic field there, and we're all, you know, resonating directly or indirectly with the global holodeck. You know, and of course, I think behind the global holodeck is the real holodeck, the source field, you know, the holographic universe. And it's like we're bridging dimensions, and it's like this is happening very quickly now. This is something that I'm reading more about, more and more from sources on what's going on electromagnetic fields of the Earth and all these influences in 2012 with galactic alignment that is surging the energy of the source field as accelerating evolution. You know, spontaneous evolution on a DNA level, more strands of DNA are activating. It's accelerating, you know, all the planets in the solar system are heating up. You know, it's not just the Earth with CO2 or whatever. It's like our whole solar system is in a field, in alignment with, 250 billion suns in our Milky Way galaxy. They're all in a flat plane, and our solar system orbits up and across that every 25,800 years, and it's surging right now because of this alignment. And that's what the Mayan calendar is really about, is we're in a photon belt of intense energy through this alignment of hundreds of billions of suns in our galaxy, with the great central sun radiating out through that, and there's an intensity of light and energy that our solar system is just being infused with right now. And the rate of change the last 10 years, the acceleration, the computer internet revolution. The real story of the Mayan calendar, as I understand it, and I've had a lot of people on the show that are experts on this, you know, far beyond me. It's like, you know, I don't learn fast, but I learn good, and it's like I finally got this message. This is what's really going on energetically in the larger holodeck, and you know, between our ears, you know, it's like resonating what's going on with the morphic energy, the morphogenic field of the Earth, and the Earth is resonating with the source field of the galaxy, and it's like. Things are popping. Anyway, that's enough for me right now.
Well, I can see you're very passionate about the subject.
Oh yeah, I read, I pick up your book on the holographic universe, and you've got so many points in it. I love this one, you know, where you say, "No one can save us. No one is coming to save us. This is an individual journey. We must find our way back to the state of alignment, the state of oneness." And I'm looking at that and say, the state of alignment. This is what's going on in 2012. It's the alignment of our solar system with the galactic plane. And it's resonating. I mean, it is surging. This energy is surging in our DNA, in our atoms, because it's all connected. You know, every atom is like, got a torus field, you know, white hole, black hole, you know, stargate, whatever you want to say, that is the same that's, you know, in the middle of our galaxy. And every cell, the DNA, you know, resonates like a tuning fork. I mean, I've been reading that just, you know, several times I ran across the same understanding with YouTube videos and articles about what's really going on with our DNA, you know, like 90% of what they used to call of our brain, where they used to call it, you know, and 90% of our DNA, they used to call it junk DNA, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're finding out now that that junk DNA is a dormant aspect of like an antenna in the brain that resonates with the source field. In other words, the quantum field, but it's dormant because it's like atrophied, but it's starting to awaken and strands of DNA are starting to, you know, form, you know, and this junk DNA is starting to wake up, you know, and that fascinates me.
Absolutely. There's, you know, there it's an opportunity, as I was saying earlier, for people to really uniquely on their own start to open themselves, access themselves, and this is what I mean by everybody has a unique signature to them, and the individual has to unlock his or herself, because regardless of the fact that all of this is occurring, which I think sometimes, you know, we get lost with that because everybody wants to get on the free ride. But the truth of it is that there are still things that we have to do. We have to be open as individuals to go through various levels of expansion, our personal evolution. You know, obviously, the more people, then, you know, you have a larger amount of the collective that's doing this, but I think there's a lot of misconceptions with that entire process. What's happening is normal and natural. It's like graduation. It's like everything goes through an evolution. All the planets go through some sort of evolution. All the, you know, to all the universes, everything steps it up at some given point in time, and the life force that is part of any of these planets or planetoids or whatever you want to call it, universe, will be obviously affected by those changes. And those that are able to be in alignment and move along, be part of the transition, those kinds of transformation that's going on, then obviously it's not a big deal. Because, you know, it's not affecting you in an adverse way because you are moving along with that alignment. But if you are not, then you find that, you know, some people obviously aren't going to be here. People die, people leave the planet, one way or another. Just various things. I think there's just so many components to this process. And I think that we want to feel comfortable by, I think, a lot of times pinning it down to one kind of concept because it's comfortable for us to understand. However many, you know, is it one reality? Is it one concept that we're dealing with when we, you know, we keep thinking that the collective, you know, will evolve and move forward in this experience? You know, it's like, what do we mean by, you know, the collective? What do we mean by everybody? Is it everybody? You know, what? How do we know that everybody, you know, is going to go through that kind of process? I think there's a lot of things that science is going to start discovering, you know, probably not in 100 years. Some of the crazy stuff that I talk about, maybe, you know, by then science will figure it out and go, yes, you know what, that makes absolute sense. But I really don't think that a lot of it is as we see it to be, as we believe it to be at this time. I think we understand it that way, and I think it is true for now, and that truth will evolve. But right now, we deal with life according to our perception, according to our belief system, and again, according to what we're comfortable with. So I think that's what reality just shows to us, shows itself to us according to what we can accept as a possibility right now.
A lot of people, you know, have turned to science fiction, and they love science fiction for the metaphors it provides about these abstract concepts. And, you know, it's like an exquisite metaphor, like a story that will discuss these concepts of the collective. And there's a lot of negative stuff out there, like the hive mind or the Borg, you know, where the whole concept of collective conscience is you lose your individuality. And then there's other metaphors for the collective that deal with, you know, like the mind of God, or the source field, or the unified field, or the intelligence that's carried by light, in photons and gamma rays and other rays that science is just beginning to understand, the vast nature of the quantum field and the intelligence that's within that. You know, the different energies. I mean, we're at a really kind of a primitive stage of understanding all that.
Right.
So there's this whole range of from fear-based to what I call love-based, or faith-based, however you God love-based, source-based understanding. And I think a lot of it's emerging now. But what it does for everyone on their own personal holodeck, you might say, between their ears, is everyone has a very rich tapestry of belief systems to choose from, and there are some that are liberating, and some that repeat the same old victim dictum, and people tend to magnetize to wherever they're to where they're going from where they're at, or I think it's difficult for a lot of people to shift gears at this time.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people stuck, and one of my definitions of sin is S-I-N, stuck in negativity, and that's part of the fear matrix, and a lot of people are coming out of the fear matrix, or trying to, and awakening to not just, how bad things really are, but how good things can be. And I think
Right. There's
that combination of, there's this... how everything has become backwards in some regards, in a centralized, top-down command and control, control matrix way. And then there's just that other, you might say, some people would call it a matrix, but some people would call it just a nonlinear, intuitive, presence, where they just know that they're free. And they have that sense of spirit or freedom that, sees opportunity with every problem rather than the problem with every opportunity.
Right.
and I see that that's what you're doing, and a lot with your work, your production of the business of disease. The reason I like it, you're taking a lot of individuals that, again, have been in the trenches and have an advanced understanding of this perception thing, and it's a matter of perception and seeing the opportunity with the problem, in terms of disease, is like stress, and there's the whole economic system is based on the economics of scarcity. So you have the concealing, wasting, and destroying of abundant health to maintain this scarcity that keeps prices, profits, and control high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so it's like the whole business model is based on an economic model that's based on the concealing, wasting, and destroying of abundance, the economics of scarcity.
Right.
And it's just when we look at, the healthcare system and all the retrofitting of the healthcare program, the Obamacare, the whole concept of retrofitting a disease care system that we call healthcare, but 97.5%, the creation and management of disease.
Right. Well, a lot of people are very confused about the whole idea of health to begin with, anyway, and because everybody basically is programmed to be able to be directed, to be told what they need to do. I think that's the idea, the same thing with the healthcare at this time. People are screaming for healthcare just in case. We live in a just in case something happens. And I'm not saying we don't need healthcare. I just see where it's a complete distraction away from encouraging one to seek methods where you're more self-reliant, self-sufficient, and that there doesn't have to be such a fear about being able to be responsible for one's body or tune into one's body or be able to listen to one's body. I think it's a much bigger picture here, and I've talked about it in articles. I've talked about it, you know, in a lot more detail on other shows as well, in terms of what I see with that whole healthcare process. I think there's more to it than that, and you know, people who haven't been sick for 20 years but have been paying $600 and $700 a month, you know, are paying that just in case something happens. So we live in this fear, and the media, of course, helps that. The marketing helps that for us to live in fear and worry. We've got to be prepared just in case, because by the time you get to a certain age, you're going to surely get sick. So we're programmed for illness. We're programmed.
The insurance medical complex.
Right. It's a lot of programming, and even when people say, oh, no, I'm not part of that, you know, they'll say so many other things that let you know, oh, yes, you are just as programmed as everyone else. Sure, you can have insurance, but you should not become so dependent on it, you know, as opposed to other options. What about listening to our bodies? What about the communication that goes on between the body and the mind? What about the emotional factor? What about, you know, all of these trapped emotions, trapped energy? Those things, of course, doesn't work for Western medicine, yet those are the core issues that cause the body to go into a disharmonic state or a diseased state.
Well, even believing in insurance, the concept to me is kind of a joke. I think Dick Gregory used to say this. With insurance, you're betting you're going to need it. The insurance company is betting you're not, and you pay them.
Right.
In other words, it's really creating like unconsciously that you're gonna get sick and you're gonna need this,
mm-hmm.
and you're betting that you're paying into it is going to take care of you rather than you taking care of yourself.
Well, I think sometimes people almost want to get sick so that they can use it because they've been paying for it.
Yeah, you know? it's all reverse psychology.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say that, it's almost like you have these high priests of medicine in their white coats, and their placebo is, you know, it's like it's either the drug sacrament or your insurance premium.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All backwards.
It is.
In other words, it's the profits in the system are only if you're sick.
Yeah.
And the insurance companies get a fraction of the action.
Yeah, and nobody gives you a refund if you're well been sick. They don't go, here's half, you know, back. They don't really care, because either way, they're going to win. Either way, they're going to make some money. If you're sick, okay, so then you're still paying, so we've got that part of it, and depending on how severely ill you are, then obviously the insurance has to pay out that money, but now there's medication, there's prescriptions, there's, you know, depending on the insurance they have, copay. I mean, there's just so many factors involved here, but it's never in your best interest. It's just a moving machine of business. You know, it's just a moving machine of business, and you figure the number of people that are actually paying insurance in comparison, on all honesty, to the number of people that are probably very ill, where they use up that much, you know, thousands of dollars, in comparison to the people that have been paying for 20 and 30 years and have never gotten sick, have never really had to use it, not to any great magnitude.
It's covering the people in the system that didn't take care of themselves and are getting sick. So really what we're subsidizing is, a system that the healthy are subsidizing, an incentive system for disease. In other words, it's not health insurance, it's disease insurance.
Yeah, it's
not health care, it's disease care. It's a disease care system. And it's because it's all backwards, and this is where people get confused. It's like the endless war for peace. It's all so wrong.
It's pretty
so
crazy.
Backwards. It's really
the war. Yeah, that's fight for peace. It just it doesn't even make any sense.
But and at the core level, it really is insane. But you know, that really comes down to if the profits in the system are for disease, war, and destruction of the life support systems for the body and for the environment and for the planet, it's a self-destruct course.
Right.
And of course, you know, that's the Kali Yuga and all these other cycles you talk about, the self-destruction of materialism, will reach its pinnacle, and then then it's the end of the world as we have known it. I think that's what the Mayan calendar concept of, as people wake up to the insanity and move through it with sanity, it is the end of the world as we've known it.
Right, right. It is the end of a cycle. It's the end of a cycle and the beginning of another cycle. It's just, what is that cycle going to be? I mean, I think, how evolved will we be? I mean, are we going to be are people going to be more programmed in a way where you're programmed to think that you are very evolved? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved here. So the oneness thing, I think, for me, though, is really interesting because it is sort of that Borg type mentality, and the sense that, if everybody doesn't come into this agreement that things aren't going to move forward, like we have to all be thinking the same way, we all have to, and I don't see that, and I think because of that, some people have the notion that they can't move forward without the group. So it's this group mind kind of, I think, deceptive thinking that's portrayed a lot of times. And no, the individual represents
the whole.
That's
like the economic system is really the Borg mentality. That's
right.
The economics of scarcity. That's the system that we have now. We're all supposed to think along the same lines of there's not enough to go around. Therefore, the super rich will rule a system that is really got the middle class up against the wall and shrinking rapidly. But we're all supposed to get along by going along like good sheeple over the cliff because we're supposed to believe in the economics of scarcity.
Right.
And that's that Borg mentality, that mentality is really the annihilation of everything sacred with freedom, an individuality, any free, self-actualized soul would honor as sacred,
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of deception, lots and lots of deceptive concepts being thrown around, and I know that probably on certain shows, certain arenas, yes. My thoughts, which of course, I only expressed it in a very minute way today, but my thoughts are very different. I just am not on board for just think positive and this very fantasy based
the PMA thing. Positive mental attitude.
Yeah, it's because just a lot of people are just lying to themselves a lot. And people are thinking, okay, well, if I just do this, in the meantime, all their issues and all the things that are still stored in their subconscious mind, sabotaging them, are still there. And, you've got to just deal with them. Everything is valid. Every emotion is valid. I don't think we should dismiss because we're sad today. You're sad, you're happy. They're all a frequency, and they represent the moment. And in that moment, we just need to be able to understand how to observe that mood, that frequency, and see what it's showing us. But
I think that's the key: how to become like almost like a third person objective viewer of one's own frequency. In other words, how to become conscious of how we are conscious. That it's like biofeedback or psyche feedback or just like feedback where you can kind of step back and assess the energies, the frequencies, and then make a choice, whatever.
Right. Right. Yeah. Better be able to assess where you're going, what your options are, what it is that you want to do, not based on what you think everybody else would like for you to do.
Right.
But
you know, it's just like, I think, well, the anarchists, you know, they say that any regimentation at all, you know, of the collective is counterproductive to individuality, you know, to the freedom, you know, and some of the libertarians go in the same direction. But I think that any, you know, any philosophy like that in excess is a weakness. In other words, yes, there's truth in the idea of individual freedom with no collective regimentation, but in excess, anarchy, you know, the concept of that concept of anarchy, and of course, there's staunch believers in this concept, and, you know, it's like you can take the word like democracy or, you know, Republican or Democrat or anarchist or socialist, all these concepts you'll have adherents of it, you know, will believe religiously in the philosophy from their perspective, and they're 100% right for their prevailing awareness. But okay. any one of these in extreme is in excess is a weakness. In other words, there is a point where all religions, all political philosophies, you know, there's things they have in common. And I think it's the thing that they have, all religions have in common, and all political philosophies have in common, which is the idea, you know, of unity and diversity. You know, what they have in common is more important, you know, and I think this is the trending of collective consciousness in a positive way, that we see how unity and our diversity are real community rather than virtual community, or interactive mass-to-mass communications rather than one-way centralized programming. This whole trend towards of diversity with a common sense or a unity conscience or whatever, I think that's where it's going. And again, I think there's an organic common ground, you know, for the commonwealth, and it is the economics of abundance. You know, it is the economics of, I call it the currency of conscience. You know, when people are more conscious of how they're conscious individually and collectively, you know, it's just like there's more light that brings light to dark places, you might say, and things get better. Anyway, I don't mean to be like a Pollyanna in that regard. It's just like I see how bad things really are, and you know, I mean, I can rail against the medical industrial complex and all this backwards insanity as a civilization, but I prefer to do that in the context of how good things could be.
Yeah. Well, the film, The Business of Disease, is, which it says on the site, it's definitely not about a war against the pharmaceutical companies and Western medicine. It is pointing out some of those factors, but the film is really more about what can we do, what's available to us in terms of cutting-edge concepts. You know, can the body heal itself under the right conditions? So I'm using science, which is the reason why you've got Amit Goswami, who is a physicist as well, and people like Bruce Lipton, to bring other aspects, and pretty much most of those people in there, they all have a pretty good sense of some aspect of science. And I think that's very necessary for people to be able to understand from that level why this is all possible, and this is not all fluff information, but that, yes, we can. There are ways that we can begin to take care of these bodies, these vessels, more so than being completely dependent on external options or on basically on Western medicine, nothing else. But that's what the film is about. So it is showing people how marketing works in terms of how the brain responds to these things, the concepts that are constantly thrown in our face, and of course the fear. Fear is what's used, you know, because if there is fear, obviously you hear this marketing about certain illnesses, and shingles, which is now the big thing. If you've had chickenpox, well, that's most people. You know, so are you going to run out now and get the vaccine for shingles? I mean, obviously now that's a moneymaker. So this is what you're trying, you know, getting people to wake up to how they're thinking. Your fear is running you. And somebody else is projecting these concepts that's triggering maybe a fear that's already there in you, and you're responding by marching right along, like the Pied Piper just playing his pipe, and all the rats just follow until they fall, the mice, they fall into the, you know, over the cliff. That's the process. So that's what the film is about, not about a fight. It is about doing things differently. It is about awakening, you know, to who you are.
I think it's really important that people have an understanding of not just how insane and bad, you know, the medical industrial complex.
It's perception too. I mean, it's everything is happening as it should right now. Everything is happening the way it needs to happen right now. It is chaos. It's different levels of chaos.
And out of chaos, I believe there will come a new order. And I think the prime directive, if I can put it that way, if the prime directive in this process is it's like Hippocrates said, to do no harm, and with that, to provide a direction of how universal self-care can work, what it will look like, what will happen when anyone on their handheld device or on their computer anywhere in the world can go to a globally accessed database, through the internet, and go through a gateway, which is their blood type or their metabolic type, the same thing. Your blood type is your metabolic type, and there's been a vast amount of research on that that everyone's biochemically unique, and the basic, foundational standard for that is your metabolic type as your blood type. And in other words, individualized and personalized healthcare based on, not lowest common denominator, one drug fits all, but highest common denominator, everyone that's got the same blood type, metabolic type as yourself, you go through that gateway, and you see, for any current symptom profile that you might have, what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some eclectic combination. And it's an empirical database with the only responsibility, you might say, of people using this for free is that they're asked to share with reporting protocols, what results they get for whatever they choose to do, whether it's some combination of different modalities or one specific modality or nutritional supplement or treatment or whatever, and that there's reporting protocols so they can share, so that it becomes, as the database expands and more people using this all over the world, becomes more self-evident what's working best holistically.
Right.
The vision of that alone can be the catalyst for, a self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, the healing of the disease care system.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty interesting right now what's going on with that whole thing. It's been going on for the last several years, and of course now it's finally reached a point of some sort of understanding or some sort of decision made. And no matter what the decision was, everybody was going to be mad anyway. So there's still going to be a problem. So the whole thing is we have to get back to self-reliance somehow. We cannot depend on the system to make decisions and choices for us. And I think that's where the issue is for people. And it's not that I'm forgetting about people who have health problems, severe health conditions. But I think even in getting to that state, if we understood more about the body and more about how we're wired emotionally and how we process emotions, just so many things that if we understood more about ourselves, it would make such a difference in terms of the kind of health that we all have. And our Western medicine does not address any of those. They just give you a Band-Aid, and that's what everybody basically is fighting for, is more so the Band-Aid effect. They don't go to the core of the origin of any illness.
The energy behind the physical disease.
No, they don't.
The energetics.
Right.
And that's why we got a whole system that, it's based on the whole paradigm of the medical system we have is the chemistry of disease. It's not the energies of health.
Right.
And this whole orthomolecular approach without the ultramolecular, the energetic approach, is like It's the denial of quantum physics and energy healing and healing with light, healing with sound. All of that stuff has just been legislated as illegal because it just it challenges the monopoly.
right. Uh-huh. True.
Anyway, I'm going to do a wrap finish up with a little meditation. We could go into this more, but Sonia, I wanted to thank you for what you've shared. I think you've got some extraordinary stuff in the works that's going to help a lot of people. And I know you've really got the extraordinary stuff you've already got in the can with the holographic canvas. I really recommend anyone that has a chance to order that book. You can just just Google holographic canvas online, or how would you do that?
Yes, you can. You can get online, but you can order it directly from my site, spiritinform.com. And you can also order it on Amazon and basically any online place. And the documentary website is thebusinessofdisease.com. So I'd appreciate it if people would go there. Also, like us on Facebook. And we're looking for anybody who wants to sponsor us through our Indiegogo funding site. But you can do that from thebusinessofdisease.com. So it's really appreciated. Anything from a dollar on up is appreciated to complete the filming of this project.
Well, Sonia, thank you so much for being with us
thank
on Cosmic
you.
Love today. I'm so grateful and look forward to having everyone back here in a couple of weeks. Happy trails in the meantime. Thanks, Sonia. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see
thank
you in a couple
you.
Of weeks. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. the five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.